Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the beautiful day and all so many blessings you've already given us this day. And now the blessed opportunity once again to be able to gather together in your house and to get into your word. Help us now as we do that. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Monday is Labor Day here in the U.S., a day set aside to commemorate the American worker, hardworking individuals that built this country and sustained this country with their labor by the blessings of God. We have other nations that have particular labor days, but Monday will be our labor day here in the U.S. And we know that everything that we do, everything that we can do is because the Lord allows us, gives us the abilities, gives us the strength, the wisdom, the very breath that is within us is a gift from God. We need to always acknowledge that and realize that we could do nothing without Him. Even those sinners out there, what you might call filthy sinners, they are being blessed by God with the ability to be able to do what they do. Even if it is an unrighteous act, He's still giving them the ability to do things because He gave people a free will. And they need to know that they need to be thankful for everything that they have. And that's one of our privileges, our duties, our responsibilities, our blessings, is to be a laborer together with God. So we Christians are laborers together with God. He allows us, He gives us the Great Commission to go out and preach and teach the gospel. And when we are participating in that, we are laborers with God. In our daily witness and testifying and living a God-glorifying life, we are laborers with God. And we should always keep that in mind, to be good and faithful and loyal laborers together with God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse 9 through 13 here, we see some references to the blessings that come to us because of our labor, the fruits of our labor in this physical world. Is what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. The travail, it means the hard work that we have to do in order to survive. All the way back to Adam and Eve, where the Lord was telling Adam that he was going to have to toil the soil, have to work to grow the crops. So that's the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. You need to work hard to reap the benefits of your labor. Verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence, and He keeps everything in existence by His word. Also, He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We go out here, we toil the soil, we plant the seeds, and a crop grows, and we're able to harvest and eat that. But we really have no ability to comprehend why that even happens. As I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. Our ability to labor and the fruits of our labor is a gift from God. When we harvest the crops, when we get a paycheck, when we reap the benefits of our labor, we got to recognize and know and acknowledge that is a gift from God. To always be thankful. This is a critical thing in the life of a Christian, to always be thankful. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, a few more verses here, in chapter 5, verse 12, it reads, The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. So when you earn what you have, your hard-working efforts, and you see the benefits of it, that gives you that sweet sleep. But when you've just been given things, or when you have been an inheritance, you received a bunch of wealth, or if you've already acquired a bunch of wealth, and then you just sort of sit back, you're floating along, you don't have that sort of peaceful sleep, and you can become stagnant. Verse 13, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. To their hurt. It reads, but those riches perish by the evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Now this having a son here is there again talking about that inheritance. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. We brought nothing into this world, and we're going to be taking nothing out, in the physical sense is what he's speaking of there. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. So we must be careful what we are working for. Are we working selfishly? It reads, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. We see many times people that have worked hard, really did a devoted hard labor and worked and accumulated a lot, and then as it made reference there, the son, a child be born, and then that go to that child. Because you're not going to take it with you. It's going to be left behind for somebody else. Sometimes that leads to the demise of that child which receives that inheritance, because they don't have to work for theirs. But it's good when we can enjoy what the Lord has blessed us with through the fruits of our labor. I've made reference to it before. I've seen this bumper sticker on the back of a motorhome one time going down the interstate. It says, we are spending our children's inheritance out there enjoying it before they pass on, instead of leaving it behind for the kids to fight over. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. The gift of God, to enjoy what he has blessed you with and not to feel guilty about enjoying what the Lord's blessed you with. He tells us right there, it's a gift. So all that hard work, all that labor in this physical world, all the blessings that we receive, it's a gift from God. But we got to be careful about how we have our focus. Today's society would have you focused on acquiring a lot of wealth, building up treasures here on the earth. We're not to do such a thing, as the Lord teaches in Matthew chapter 6. Teachings directly from Jesus Christ here in Matthew chapter 6. And pick it up in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He told us, enjoy the fruits of our labor. Consume them, use them, put them to work. Not to build up mounds of treasures here on earth, because as we referred to earlier, we're not going to be taking it with us. We're going to be left behind or burned up in judgment. For For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your focus? On building financial wealth here or building treasures in heaven? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being that wealth, materialism. Is that your focus? Or is your focus on serving the Lord, building treasures in heaven? He's going to bless us with things that we can enjoy now. Enjoy those things. Be prosperous. Enjoy your prosperity. But don't let that be your God. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now, he's not saying to be in a manner of that you're not considering working to benefit the family, to acquire food, clothing, and shelter. We are supposed to do that, and we are supposed to enjoy the fruits of our labor. But he's saying, don't let that be your primary concern, to acquire those things. The Lord knows what we have a need of. So we be good, God-glorifying individuals, led by the Lord. Follow the teachings of the Word of God and the direction of the Holy Ghost. Do what he has directed you to do, where your place is in the world, and do it to your best, and reap the benefit now and for eternity. But you must focus primarily on serving the Lord, that everything that you do brings honor and glory to him, even on your job. And as he says there in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say seek ye first and only the kingdom of God. We got to put things in their proper priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we have our focus primarily on the Lord, then he's going to provide us ways and abilities and opportunities to have all the other things that we need, the food, clothing, shelter, and so forth. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't be overly concerned or worried about tomorrow, is what he's saying. You got enough to worry about today. Focus on what you got to get done today, day by day, because we don't know how many more days we got. So take each every day to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Stay focused in the present, looking forward to the future, but deal with what you got to deal with day by day. And in chapter 9, if you will turn over there, we've been given the opportunity, the blessed opportunity, to be able to work with the Lord, to serve the Lord, laborers together with God. And as he was teaching the disciples, he come across this situation where the Pharisees were giving him a bit of a hard time But in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We have been given the blessed opportunity to be laborers with the Lord, to go into those places and serve the Lord. Over in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, sometimes when we get the calling to serve the Lord, we get overwhelmed. And sometimes you come in, you join a church, and you get dumped on by so much opportunity to serve the Lord that you wind up taking on things that really wasn't your calling. You got to make sure that you take on what the Lord has called you to do, because everybody has their part to work together in the body of Christ. And one of the things that he was dealing with in his teachings here in Matthew is the Pharisees and Sadducees and the other elitists, the scribes, would try to put too much burden on the people to do things that they themselves should have been doing, loading them over what they should have been given. And here the Lord's telling us in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When you have too much of a load on you, come to the Lord. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we take on exactly what the Lord wants us to take on, we're not going to be overburdened. But way too many times we take on tasks that we should not take on. I use the wheelbarrow analogy quite often, like this little account that was said that a man had a wheelbarrow, and the Lord puts a load in his wheelbarrow and says, take this up to the top of the mountain for me. So he starts to go up the path to the top of the mountain. Along the way, he sees a little old lady carrying a big burden on her back. He says, put that over here in my wheelbarrow. I'll take that up. So he goes on up, and he finds somebody else dragging a load that was so heavy they couldn't even have it on their back. Put that in my wheelbarrow. I'll take that on up. And then he goes a little farther, a little kid trying to carry a load. Oh, come on, child. Put that in here. I'll carry that up. By the time he gets to the top, he's just overwhelmed, exhausted. He said, Lord, why did you put so much on me? And like he says there, take my yoke upon you, not your yoke. See, he had put all that on himself. So the Lord takes the various things out of the wheelbarrow. And he says, this is all I gave you to do. You took all this other on yourself. So let's read that again in chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Over in Matthew chapter 28, what has he given us? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A great commission to go out, preach, teach the gospel. That doesn't mean everybody's supposed to go out and be missionaries. He gives us different assignments, as we see in the New Testament, the teachings of various jobs that he's given out, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, and so forth. Laborers, together with God. Whatever he has called you to do, whatever he has given you the abilities and skills to be able to do to bring honor and glory to the Lord and to spread the gospel, whatever it may be. Every one of us have a separate circle of influence. Some of them overlap, yes, but we all have a circle of influence. You utilize that circle of influence the best you can. Do the people within your circle of influence know that you are a born-again Christian devoted to service of the Lord or not? We need to let them know. And as he says also about the laboring in John chapter 6, in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And we get sealed when we trust in the Lord. He gives us the earnest of our inheritance, which is the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, which is that contractual agreement and the down payment, the seal, the deposit. And what we have to look forward to is even more wondrous and gracious and spectacular than we could even imagine. In 1 Corinthians, some awesome teaching here about laborers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, be right up in verse 1. And I, brethren, the I here is Paul. And this is a letter to the church at Corinth, speaking to the Christians. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? See, that's one of the problems that you wind up having when a group of people get together and decide that they want to work for the Lord. They have differences, and it winds up in strife. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God always give God the credit for all the things that it achieves. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. There's been too many people in the past that have gotten into the ministry and got all puffed up and haughty and oh, look what I have achieved, and then follow me because I am your shepherd, you are my flock. Wrong, that's a sacrilege. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. Notice, own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We've had those people in the past that have tried to build an entire different religion based on something other than the belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if a man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What kind of work have you done together with the Lord? Was it for your own selfish gain, for your own glory, or for the glory of the Lord? If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This is a very interesting couple of verses here. The fact that he's going to give us, in addition to everlasting life and a glorified body, extra rewards to enjoy for eternity based upon what we have done since we've become born again. But if you did things just for yourself, for selfish gain, for self-glory, worthless things, that would be the wood, hay, and the stubble. It'd be burned up. But the things that are true, that are correct, that are precious, will survive the fire. The precious stones, the gold and the silver, will survive the fire. The fire is the test to see what kind of work it was. And then we'll either receive benefits or suffer loss. But we will not lose our salvation, which is a wondrous thing that the Lord has given us salvation and sealed us, even if there are people out there that have gotten so selfish, so self-righteous, that they are no longer doing a work for the Lord, but a work for themselves, but yet are truly born-again Christians, but they have become disobedient children in such a manner, they are going to suffer loss. Loss of benefits, loss of rewards, loss of appointed positions during the millennial kingdom, loss that they will suffer for eternity, that loss. They themselves, their soul is sealed, saved, yes, but they will not have the position or the glory and the benefits and the wondrous rewards for eternity that they could have had if they would have been obedient through it all. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We are the temple of God. We have the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. We merely need to listen to Him. Get ourselves out of the way. Let Him come forward and do what He wants us to do. And then we can bring honor and glory to the Lord in everything that we do. And that's what we got to remember. We have that within us. Just tap into it. Utilize it. And be looking forward to Judgment Day. Looking forward to those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What we all want to look forward to as laborers for the Lord, because everything that we do, everything that everybody does, is going to be looked at. What kind of works did they do? As he tells us in that ultimate judgment, the last judgment in the great white throne judgment, as we see in Revelation chapter 20, this is where everything, everyone will be manifest, revealed, all works of any sort, through all the ages, even the millennial kingdom, and the final judgment for everyone. Some have misunderstood that this is just a judgment for the lost, but it is not. It is the final judgment for everyone, because there's going to be a lot of people born during the tribulation time and during the millennial kingdom and so forth that will have to have a time of judgment that will not be part of the judgment seat of Christ. And that's a whole different message. I won't get into that. But if you will, go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." Notice, books. Records are being kept. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." What kind of labor did they do? "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." A judgment coming upon everyone. Accountability. Did you choose to serve the Lord? Or did you choose to serve yourself? Did you deny the Lord completely and wind up in the lake of fire? We got to know that the Lord's coming back. And as he says in Revelation chapter 22, in verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly." That means suddenly, without announcement. I'm coming quickly. "And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Rewards. That paycheck, we got an awesome one coming if we are obedient to the guidance of the Holy Ghost that is within us. Listen up to the Holy Ghost. Be laborers together with God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for allowing us to be laborers with you. Help all of us open our eyes up and see the task you have laid right out for us, the yoke that you have for us. Let us all take that on and get that rest and get that peace and get that knowledge of knowing that we're doing the work you want us to do, to bring you all the honor, all the glory. Thank you so much for it all as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.